I want to say, boss man, though, you did okay with the reading, but it's so scattered today. You really went from Galatians to Peter. I mean, you know, what can I say? Well. If I didn't pick on you, you know I wouldn't love you, so, you know.
Well, my brain is scattered, that's why the scriptures, and I figured you could relate to it.
I mean, we were talking about this on Thursday night. I mean, it's like, poor Mickey, she likes to try to go with the music, you know, and the words, but what? I don't know. The first reading is from Colossians 1:1-5. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Then from 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 9. See what I mean? Oh, I don't know. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. This ends the reading of our word.
Thank you, and you did a wonderful reading. I chose three scriptures because I wanted to show you in different places in the Bible what it talks about us being the family of God. And the first one, it talks about God the Father, and we are members of God's family or God's household. Then it says to love the family of believers. Then it talks about your brothers and sisters who are out there in the world. So we talk about the church. Sometimes we talk about Glenshaw Valley. This church, the specific church here. Then we talk about the church maybe that is the Presbyterian Church and our brothers and sisters in Presbyterian Church USA. Then we talk about the church worldwide. All those all over the world who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even if their church government's different, even if their beliefs are different or even strange to us, we're still part of the household or the family of God. You know, a Frenchman was experimenting with electricity in his infancy, and he got about 1,000 monks together. He had this power to tell them. They didn't have the choice. Well, if you want to do it, no, you have to do it because you took a vow of obedience. So they got them together, hit the electricity. All of them, 1,000, jumped at the exact same time because electricity moves so fast. You think about that. How beautiful would that be if we could get all people, all Christians, this church, Presbyterian Church USA, the church worldwide, if we could all jump at the command of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the same time and truly follow him and his word. And it's really hard to believe that much cooperation in most churches. You know, sometimes we have difficulties within our local church, and sometimes, a lot of times, we have difficulties within the presbytery or the general assembly. People taking totally different, opposite views, and then the world. Even some Christians say, "Well, you're not a Christian because you weren't baptized this way, or you don't use this version of the Bible." Whatever it might be, but I wish we could get away from that and come together in a true unity, in a true sense of peace, and a true family. In his epistle, Peter tells us that we are a big, happy family. Well, you and I know that even the happiest of families have problems sometimes. But in a family, we do our best to work through those problems and hopefully to follow God's will. Here's a little story about a man who changed churches from Methodist to Presbyterian. And you can think, if you're here from a Catholic church or a Methodist, and you said it differently. Little boy is asked to make the transition in the Lord's Prayer. And some of you have been through that, like I have in my adult life. His older brother said, "You don't even know how to say the Lord's Prayer." Very condescending to his little brother. "You don't say, 'Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.' You're supposed to pray, 'Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are dead set against us.'" There's a lot of wisdom in children, even if they don't know it. And I hope none of you are dead set against anyone within the church, and I hope no one is dead set against you. And yet within the happiest of families, we're bound to have conflicts, difference of opinions, get our feelings hurt at times. So St. Paul advises us to watch our tongues, to pray for one another, to forgive one another, and to love one another. A happy family, that is the ideal model for the Church of Jesus Christ. But how do we recapture that harmonious relationship that we seem to see in the very early church, especially in the book of Acts? But by the time they were establishing churches, we see the conflicts, like in the Corinthian church, trying to understand who Jesus was. What would they were supposed to do? How did they act? Where do we find maybe that electricity can cause us to jump and with a sense of joy for our Lord Jesus Christ and for His church? I think we find it by reminding ourselves that who we are and what we are all about is the church. We do it by asking ourselves three basic questions every time we meet to do the business of the church. Now, beyond a shadow of doubt, when I say meet for the business of the church, I don't mean the business when we meet in November. That is a part of it. But I mean the business of being here today in worship. I don't want to overuse the word business, but when we come together, we have a certain reason that we are here. Now, some people's reasons can be a little different at times, but basically, we're here because of Jesus Christ and the relationship that we first of all have with Him. So the first question is, what can we do to help persons love God more, deeper? Many people, are afraid of God. I've seen this my whole ministry, people who are afraid to commit fully to Jesus Christ. They'll get 50% or 75%, maybe even 90%, but they're always holding back something. And of course, I've been guilty of the same thing. And I'm not going to preach to you and say that I haven't done it too. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, told a story. He says his wife and him have two grown sons. He says, suppose that when they were little boys, had come up and greet me, and I returned home from a trip and said, "Dad, we just love you so much. We missed you. We're so excited about you being home. We've been talking together, and we decided that whatever you tell us to do from now on, we're going to do. Whatever you say, we go be obedient to you." And Bill Bright said, "What if I looked at them and told them, 'You know, that's great.' But he looks at them in an evil way. And he says, 'Now I'm going to make you regret your decision to trust me and to be obedient to me for as long as you live. I'm going to take all the fun out of your lives. I'm going to make you miserable as long as you live. They would regret that they said that. And if that's how we thought the church was, we would regret giving our lives to Jesus and being a part of His holy church, whether locally or worldwide. That Father, and neither would God, ever treat you that way. Ever. God wants you to feel His love. God has no desire to give any wrath towards you. And my primary purpose as your pastor, even though there's a lot of things that I'm supposed to do, is to remind you that God loves you. To help you, help me through the week, through the Word of God. What does the Bible tell us? What does it say to us? What is God trying to say to us? Not what am I trying to say, or if someone else was up here this morning, but what is the Word trying to tell you? Ted Randall tells about a creature called a limpet. It lives in a shell, and it clings to the rocks along the seashore in certain areas. Now, when someone comes by, they get really afraid, and what they do is they cling on even more. And it's almost impossible to pry that limpet off of that rock. And what a grand thing if each of us, we could hold on to the rock of Jesus Christ and make it our determination that I am not going to turn loose. I am going to hold on to Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstances in the world, regardless of the circumstances in my family, my job, maybe even in my church. I am going to hold on to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to hold on in a new way and a tighter way that no one can pry me away from my God. Phillips Brooks preached a sermon, you know, from a phrase when it talks about make the men sit down. The people were pushing and surging against Jesus, trying to get closer to Him, to touch Him, to be healed, to hear what He had to say. In order for Him to be able to minister to them, it was necessary for them to sit down that they might receive what He had prepared to tell them at that moment. And that is part of what a worship service is all about. We've been pushing. We've been surging all week long. Maybe at work. Maybe at school. Maybe with our family. Maybe with foes, our neighbors. And when we come into this building, when we come and gather together as the people of God, the church of God, we push that away. For a little while, an hour, not to be entertained, but to find ourselves drawing closer to God. It's time for us to sit down and to wait with a sense of readiness for what God has to give to us, to relax, to refocus. Another task is to help us love one another. The Living Bible translates Peter's words like this: you should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy towards each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't snap back at those who say unkind things to you. Instead, pray for God, help for them. For we are to be kind to others, and God will bless us for it. That's a real strength of the church. It is to share our love with one another. Bennett Cerf, who many remember as a master of ceremonies of the program What's My Line, was once asked, "What are you most afraid of?" His reply was, "I have to admit that I'm most afraid of not being loved." And I think that's a fear for lots of people. And not just talking about a romantic love, but being loved as friends, as family, being loved for who you are, even though you're not perfect and they're not perfect, but loving. There's a lots of people in this world who fear. If only they knew that the church is not only loving God, but it is loving one another. In his book, Rebuild Your Life, Dale Galloway tells about experience he had when he was a custodian in a large church. And if you can imagine this church, he said a bird got into the sanctuary one day and started flying around. So he just watched it fly for a while, and it just flying towards the windows. It got in, but it couldn't remember how to get out. So he followed the bird around, trying to capture it, going up, then coming down, himself getting tired. And he said, finally that little bird, so exhausted from just flying around, helter-skelter, fell to the ground. And he just walked over, picked up that bird, took it outside, and released it. And then in a few moments, that bird flew away. Had been utter exhaustion. And Mr. Galloway says, just a few years ago, I was a broken man. I was torn apart, emotionally, physically, every way. And I was looking, trying to find a solution. Then one day, completely exhausted, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to get out of the situation I was in, I fell into the loving hands of my Heavenly Father. He picked me up. He nursed my wounds with His love. He pulled me close to His heart. He healed me of my brokenness. He made me whole for the first time in my life. And God has set me free to fly again. You and I have seen God do that to people within this church, within your family. They were broken and God touched them. They finally received God into their lives and things began to change. Now, I don't want you to literally look around right now, but look at our church family that is gathered here this morning and those that may not be here today. Look for someone who needs your love. Maybe at times it's a painfully shy child. Maybe it's a teenager who just desperately needs a word of encouragement. You think they've got it all together, but they're going through so much in their lives, trying to find their place, who they are as a person. Just one kind word. Maybe you know someone who has a deep disappointment or a deep hurt in their life, something that they're going through, or someone who's been ravaged by sickness or going through an illness right now, or someone that has lost a loved one and is still grieving. A church where people truly love and care for one another is a church where our Lord can be one that He can be proud of and that you and I can be proud of. Bishop Sheen once asked a missionary from one of the islands of the Pacific, what was the greatest virtue of the people that he was trying to help there? And he answered, I can tell you their greatest virtue in terms of regard of what is their greatest vice. He just says it's kaipo, K-A-I-P-O. Don't know if I'm saying that right. But the sin of eating alone. Some of them would go without food for 2 or 3 days until they could find someone to share their meal with. Think about that for a moment. The sin of eating alone. It is absolutely no accident that the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper, communion. And we come together, and that bread is dispersed, representing His body, and we partake of it together. And then the wine or the juice is distributed, and we partake of that together. We're joining together with a sense of unity, the family of God. And a little bit differently, but when we go next door and we have a potluck meal or our Christmas meal or our Thanksgiving meal, we're sitting down together as the family of God, breaking bread together. And there's something special about that. And there's a last task. We must love the world for which Christ died. And that may be the hardest of all. To love the unlovable. To love someone who is lost and is difficult to deal with. Someone who is going through addiction. Someone who is not loving you back. And for those who are different from us. How do we recapture the electricity of the early church? Here's how we can become that big happy family God means for us to be. We must make sure that everything we do in the church contributes basically to these three tasks: to help persons love God deeper, to help us love one another more, and to render loving service to the world outside of these walls. That is who we are, and that is what we are all about. We are the church, and God cannot move us forward as the church unless we are willing to move with Him and make sure that, first of all, we are a loving, giving, caring people. May God bless you. Amen.